So let's bow our heads and start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you grant us the light of the Holy Spirit, the gift of understanding, the gift to open our hearts up to your truth and conform our lives to it. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, all of us here were created, you and I, for the praise of the glory of God. It says it right here in Ephesians. We were created to sing the praises of God. And how do we sing the praise of God? By living in friendship with Him, by living in a state of grace. Now, St. Paul gives a basic calling we all have, a calling to holiness. He said, as He chose us in Him, as the Father chose us in Christ in Him, before the foundations of the world, to be holy and without blemish before Him. So all of us here are created to live a life in Christ, to be holy. But the devil, the flesh, and the world wage against that. We're striving to knock us down from living a holy life. Now, one of the most remarkable features of the New Testament, especially Mark's Gospel, is the number of exorcisms that the Lord performs. Our Lord is casting out demons here and there, and then in the Gospel here today, He sends out the 12, and He gave them authority over unclean spirits. That's another way for saying they need demons. And then later, the 12 drove out many demons. Now, the name Satan appears 18 times in the Old Testament, 35 times in the New Testament. The term devil can be found 36 times. The term demon appears 21 different times. And then you have other words used, like here today, unclean spirit. So the essence of what I'm saying here today, it could be summed up, spiritual combat. You and I are here, a pilgrimage of life. We're here temporarily. And it's a spiritual battle. It's the devil, the flesh, and the world. And we're called in this battle to become holy, to overcome all things in Christ. Now, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, the last book of the Bible, it says that the devil was cast down to the earth. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Then you have St. Peter, the first pope. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, by a little snippet, he goes, be sober, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, adversary, he's not a friend, he's not a chum, he's not somebody you want to converse with, but your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. So if you have a lukewarm faith, you're not going to make it. He says, firm in your faith. Now, Father Gabriel Moore, who's the exorcist of Rome for a number of years, and he used to be head of the International Exorcist Society, he's about 86 years old, so he's not as active in this ministry as he has been in the past. But he said what he noticed in his priesthood, these spiritual attacks that people go through, that the devil in particular attacks five areas. One's health, business, relations with others, enjoyment of life, and a lot of times there's an infusion, like a desire for death and suicide. So these are five areas that the devil attacks. And then John Paul II, blessed John Paul II, May 25th, 2002, in his Angelus address, said this. It was a wake-up call for all priests and bishops. He said this, spiritual combat is another element of life which needs to be taught anew and proposed once more to all Christians today. It is a secret, an interior, an invisible struggle in which we engage every day against the temptations and the evil suggestions that the demon tries to plant in our hearts. So Pope John Paul II said this is something that needs to be talked about. And it's something, brothers and sisters, it's real. And the most vitally important thing is St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God, which means live in a state of sanctifying grace. Recently, this past week actually, I was talking to a brother priest, and we were talking a little bit about this subject here, and we said, you know, if you just look at it objectively, how many Catholics go to Mass on a typical weekend, or go regularly, every Sunday? That's just basic 101 following Jesus. So the average is around 33 to 40% of Catholics go every Sunday. Okay. And then we thought, well, if you take that 33 to 40% that go regularly, how many go to confession on a regular basis? Because sometimes I'll meet someone, they go to church regularly, but they've been away from confession for 17, 25 years. Okay? And then, how many out of that then pray on a regular basis? I mean, really giving their heart to the Lord each and every day. So the number gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So like the missed Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. It's the basic teaching of the church, and then the soul is no longer a state of sanctifying grace. And the church asks us to go to confession minimally at least once a year. So we're looking at that. Now, only God could judge the soul. We can. But look at the basic things we have from the scripture, the catechism, the teaching of the church, thinking, wow, what percentage of people are living, for the most part, in a state of mortal sin, not in friendship with Jesus Christ, not in a state of sanctifying grace? Well, why is that important? If we're not living in a state of sanctifying grace, we are a walking target to evil spirits. There's nothing blocking them. Nothing blocking them. We don't have any spiritual defenses. We need the armor of God. I was talking to a priest. We had a meeting in Tulsa. There was a bunch of priests. And this particular priest is from Virginia. And he said he was talking to these people who work at a particular fast food restaurant. Two girls, late teenage years. And you know what he told them? What they told him, this priest? What we've been doing is when we give out these meals, we've been putting curses on them. What? And then the Duke. I've been here long enough where people feel comfortable, they can come up and tell me things. One person came up to me working at the store. They weren't saying it in a bad way, just like it's a matter of fact. Yeah, you know, Father, when someone treats me badly, stuff like that, I'm cursing them. After they leave, wishing bad on them, really and truly. And I'm like, whoa! And I told them, hey, don't do this. It's going to come back on your head. But here's the point. There's things like that out there. There are people out there who are casting curses, exes, spells. They've read Harry Potter. They've read these other things. They start dabbling this like that. And then if you have a soul that's the recipient of the curses, and that soul's not in a state of sanctifying grace, something's going to happen on the evil side. Is it God's fault? No, but the person has separated themselves of living a life in grace, living with Jesus Christ. So vitally, vitally important. Now, in the gospel, our Lord, this is one of the things he told them to go out, cast out unclean spirits. There's a lot of evil out there. And then also in the gospel is the anointing of the sick. And so the anointing of the sick, when the priest says the anointing, there's one of the prayers that refers to the expelling of evil. Where in the anointing of the sick we say, expel, dear Lord, all afflictions of mind and body. So we're different entities. Now, what do we need to do to put on our spiritual armor? There's four basic things. Prayer, sacraments, good works, and the zealous spiritual life. So just real briefly. Prayer, number one. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Because temptations are out there. Watch and pray. So when I'm speaking here, we're all here at a different level of the spiritual life. We're all at a different part of the journey. Some more advanced, some are maybe just starting, some are maybe just starting to go deeper into prayer. We're all different. But once you get into a certain level of spiritual life, you can start discerning what's of the evil spirit, what's of the Holy Spirit, what's good and bad. If there's no sensitivity there, then you gotta get started. You gotta start praying, dear Lord, help me to realize the battle that we're in here. So you have to watch and pray. Have you ever had, here's a perfect example. Maybe someone hurt you 15 years ago, and you thought you'd forgiven them and everything, and all of a sudden that name comes to mind, just out of nowhere. And then some anger starts building up in your heart. And the spirit of revenge, you're like, oh boy, I do remember. And then it starts getting growing. Well, you know what part of that is? The evil spirit knows different weaknesses of the past, and it's going back there, saying, I think I can get another victory here. Or this happens too, a lot like during the summer, woman perhaps dressing immodestly, with the devil whisper, look at her. Oh, she's more beautiful than your wife. And all these thoughts start going more and more and more. When those things start, whether it's anger, revenge, lust, whatever, immediately, once you notice it, you have to stop. In the name of Jesus, I reject this, whatever that thought may be. Or the way we thought, you know, you can have a drink. You can have a drink. Yeah, no, your father was alcoholic. You've had a drink. Well, you can have a drink. You can handle it. First says one drink, another drink. Before you know it, it consumes their life. Or some people say, Father, I'll sit in front of the television. All of a sudden, I'm bound there. 5-6 hours have gone by. I wasted the whole weekend or something like that, just glued in front of the television. Well, there's something there beyond just the natural. There's something that's sort of holding a person in that bondage. It's real. So when you notice different weakness things in your life, stop. In Jesus' name, I resist this. Now, there's one particular priest that during an exorcism that the devil said, every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. So this is under the 4 points of prayer. Prayer to Our Lady is vitally important. This one priest, about an exorcism, he wrote what the devil had stated during the exorcism. It is the Virgin Mary who most thwarts my designs. She brings destruction to my kingdom. She stands between me and final victory. She may yet be the cause of my defeat. She is always there to hinder me. She incites her fanatics, to those of you who pray the rosary every day, she incites her fanatics to deprive me of souls. Whatever the strideness of my power extends, she silently multiplies her victory. So prayer to the Blessed Mother is important. Okay, second thing, the sacraments. The sacraments were given to us by Jesus Christ. If we're not taking advantage of the sacraments, the devil slowly but surely will have greater control of a person or their living in sin. So especially the sacrament of the confession, where we acknowledge different places in our life where we've fallen, where we haven't lived the way that Christ wanted us to do, and bring it to confession. Say, Father, I messed up here. See, if someone doesn't go to confession, whatever sin dominates life, it'll just hold them more and more in the darkness. Huh? A lot of people have trouble with gambling. With the river gambling right across the street, some people's an addiction where it holds them bondage. Some people get caught on the computer pornography, it holds them in bondage. The sacraments could overcome that. Going to the sacrament of confession. So Father Antia Portilla, an exorcist from Spain, he said that the sacraments, nothing destroys demonic influence more powerfully than the worthy reception of the body of Christ. When we receive our Lord Jesus Christ in your state of grace, what happens is his power then in you grows. But what will happen, some people as they grow in the spiritual life, different temptations they had earlier, it won't even affect them. It'll be water off the back of a duck. They're living in this freedom that Christ has for them. And I already mentioned the anointing. Anyway, the other sacraments too. Then third, good works. We need to put our faith in action. Remember Luke chapter 13, the parable of the barren fig tree. Our Lord comes, there's no fruit on it, you know. And they looked the way they were going to put like a fertilizer around it. There's no fruit. And then they said, no, give it one more year. But the Lord expects fruit to be produced in our lives to praise his glory. And we have to do works of charity. We have to tithe. We have to try to put our faith in action, forgiving our enemies, being patient with our brothers and sisters. Everything we do, God expects good works to be there. The devil doesn't want any good works. He wants our tree to be barren, to be cursed. And then fourth, living a zealous spiritual life. Not just being a boat on the ocean with no compass or sail, just floating wherever, but a zealous spiritual life, focusing. Have a goal, like every day you're praying the rosary or the chaplet. The big part of being a zealous for the spiritual life, detachment from whatever we know would lead us into sin. Detachment from whatever we know would lead us into sin. Some people, after they have their conversion, they say, Father, when I go back and I listen to the ACDC or these other groups or things like that, all these thoughts come back to my mind and all this other horrible stuff, like garbage. Well, know thyself. If you know different things like that, stay away from that. Be detached from that. Or people start, you sit in front of the television there for hour and hour, well, be intelligent. Or you sit in front of the computer, detachment from those different areas that you know that lead you in sin. Another thing with the zealous spiritual life is mortification. Why does the church ask us to do that? To mortify us. And we should be doing something every day, dying to self. Because we're not, by dying to self, we allow Christ then to grow within us. If we're not dying to self, then there's selfishness there, and it gives the devil a greater control over us, over our thoughts, our words, and actions. Mother Teresa said, the devil tempts us not so much to do us harm as to destroy God in us. His aim is death. Not so much you or I. We are nothing. It is about God, a hatred of God. You and I were created in the image and likeness of God. When we were baptized, we became temples of the Holy Spirit. And the devil hates that. He wants to destroy that. But we have to be active, giving our free will over to God, conforming our lives for them. I'll finish with this. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives these saints, early saints of the church, authority over unclean spirits. Do you know, this is a teaching of faith, that you and I, by virtue of our baptism, have a certain authority over the unclean spirits, by virtue of our baptism. So if there's different things afflicting your life or holding you in bondage, you don't seem to be free, maybe in sloth, you just can't get going in anything, try to identify that area, and then here's a basic prayer. I'll do this a few times. You say this, by the virtue of my baptism, saying I belong to Jesus Christ, my baptism is part of the church, by virtue of my baptism, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I bind up any and all spirits not of the Holy Spirit, especially, then you name it, whatever is afflicting me. Maybe it's lust, maybe it's anger, maybe it's gluttony. And then by virtue of my baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind up any spirits not of the Holy Spirit, especially, then you name it. Now for parents, claim the protection of the precious saving blood of Jesus upon your property, possessions, body, and soul. Especially the heads of the household, spiritual head of the household, the father. Just ask Jesus, Jesus, I claim your precious blood on my wife, my children, our property, possessions, body, soul. That's a powerful prayer. I could go through the scriptures with it, but St. Paul refers to the precious blood of Jesus here. It's in Revelation 12, it's in other places. But claim me the protection of the precious blood of Jesus. It's something that we need to be aware of. The church, John Paul II, particular things I read, he wants the priest to talk about this from time to time to make people aware of it. There's a lot of programs on TV about witchcraft. There's Harry Potter, there's other things. And there are people actually who dabble in this, and they're casting evil out there and not doing blessing. But you and I are called to be a living blessing in Christ. So strive to live a life in a state of sanctifying grace. Be zealous about your spiritual life. Approach the sacraments, and then someday you'll enter the glory of God in heaven, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.